Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Okay, Rock Movers, so excited. Today we have my new friend, Sri Devi, and she is doing such amazing work with the neurodiverse and neurodivergent communities and parents. So if you are a parent or you have a neurodiverse or neurodivergent person in your life that you love and care for, you are going to want to grab a pen, piece of paper, and take notes because she has so many great resources for you. So first off, thank you for being on The Rock Movers. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you for having me, Karen. I'm so excited to be here.
You're so calm. I just love you. Calm me. I bet your parents, it's probably one of the favorite things that people love working with you is you just bring this calmness and serenity to the call in a world
Thank
that can
so
be with special kids. What a gift you are.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say that.
Wow. I live it firsthand, so I can understand.
Really
but
doing.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the questions that my rock movers are so familiar with is, tell me about the biggest rock that you have moved, which we identify rocks as challenges, obstacles, things that you have overcome. So what is the biggest rock that you've moved in your life?
The biggest rock I've moved in my life is changing careers, because I did not start out in this profession of helping people. My dad growing up, I grew up in India. He either wanted me to be an engineer or a doctor. Mm-hmm. So I did pursue architecture. So I did my bachelor's and master's in architecture. I did not enjoy at all. I mean, it felt empty. Yes. And in high school, I was always interested in psychology. This is such an interesting, because I knew that something I really wanted to learn about human behavior. Even at that young age, I was kind of fascinated, but I didn't want to disappoint my dad. So I did become an architect. I spent so much time on it. I'm like, I just can't move. But 2 years into it, I was miserable. During that time, I had got married. I had a 2-year-old, and I used to come home and I used to be miserable and cry. Sometimes I used to cry because I hated the job, because that was a big transition. I had to take a break, slow down, and I'm like, I make a purposeful and meaningful decision in my life. I'm like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go back to school, and I'm gonna, you know, do my education in psychology. So that was a huge rock.
Yeah.
For me, because it was very challenging with a small child and obviously a lot of self-doubt at that point. And because I'm taking a big risk and I wasn't sure in my heart, I knew it's what I wanted to do. But I'm like, what if I don't enjoy it? But I'm glad I did, because 15, 16 years down the line and I still love what I do. So,
my goodness. So how is the relationship with your dad like during that? Was he upset, disappointed? What happened there?
So it's kind of unfortunate, but I made this move after my dad passed away.
Okay.
So I obviously, maybe something in me always wanted to please him. So it was after his passing that I even made, it was like a trigger or something, like the turning point that I made this decision.
Yeah.
But I hope he'll be happy wherever he is that are proud of me.
I am certain he is, because you're just that person. But what a way to honor him and also now honor yourself.
Yeah.
So I love that. But yeah, that sounds like a huge rock. And I know many of my listeners are facing similar situations where it may be by choice or not of their own choice, where they've been laid off or, you know, a business has had to close and they're having to pivot.
Yeah.
You know, the word of 2020 became pivot, you know, and So myself included, I made some big changes in 2020, so I can definitely relate. Yeah. But what, with this rock that you've moved, what have you done with that? And how is that helping you fulfill what you believe to be your life calling?
I just love working with, this is the thing. I love working with kids. Okay, so it just gives me joy working with kids just because, and I love working with neurodivergent kids more because I just feel so much sense of the innocence, the purity that comes with it. What I see is what I get. So when I can help better because I know what I see, and I just see the sparkles in the eyes, and I just loved working with kids. But somewhere during the process, I realized that parents are the ones who need help because it's selfish. I was selfish enough. Like, I just work with the kids. And honestly, I was kind of hesitant to work with parents because I'm like, oh no, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? Because I was like, they have so much going on. What I'm talking about is really initial stages in my profession. But then I realized that the kids are spending 98% of the time with their parents and they need the help because then I'm not doing justice for the kids. It all comes down like I'm not helping them. So indirectly, I'm kind of impacting the kids negatively by not helping the parents. So kind of the pivot moment for me was realizing that. And then now it's like if I work with kids, it's like they come as a package. If I'm working with kids, I work with you. So so parents have become an integral part of my coaching, and that's where my focus is. Of course, I do still work with kids, but I spend a lot of time with parents more than I do with kids because that's where change, effective, you know, change, impactful change happens. So that was a big pivot for me in that sense.
Yeah. So you have worked in several different fields within this career itself. So after you've moved the rock, now you've moved it a couple different times.
Yes.
And tell me what that's looked like for you as far as, like, I feel like as we go through life, and tell me if this has been your experience, maybe, we begin to kind of peel back the layers of who we were designed to be and who we were created to be and who we want to be. And so each time we embrace that and walk into it a little bit more, we get a little comfortable, and then it's like, okay, now there's more layers, and then we get a little comfortable and now there's more layers. So has that kind of been your evolution as well?
I would say, unfortunately, yes. I use it unfortunately because my husband keeps saying, like, you're always looking for the next thing. Why can't you just chill, you know, just stay there and do it? It's like,
gosh,
no, but I've done this, but there's something more. I can offer more. I can do more. That's why, I mean, I've been a behavior analyst. I'm still a behavior analyst, but I'm a special educator. I have a licensed K-12 special educator as well. Then I got my health and life coaching certification. So I'm still doing the parent coaching, but I'm like, health is so important. So I'm like health, wellness is so important. So I'm like, what can I help do that in that piece as well? So yes, I'm there. I completely am there with you. I'm like, what can I do next? What can I do better? Even in what I'm doing in terms of helping parents, I started my profession as an applied behavior analyst. So basically I use ABA, which is very scientific. But then when I was doing that, I was like, there's so much more to behavior, right? You can't just look at surface level and say, okay, that's because of attention. He's doing that for escape. He's doing that to get something. There's some more layers. I mean, there's thoughts and feelings. And ABA doesn't look a lot into thoughts and feelings. Yes, to a little bit, but it's more like why they engage in behaviors. But I'm like, no, I really want to know more. I really want to know why, as parents or as a kid, you know, there are a lot of emotions going on with it. Obviously, some kids are not able to express it the way effectively as they can. And that empathy, right, that the having that compassion and that trauma-assumed practice. So that was what ACT gave me, that additional layer to ABA, which is great piece. Yeah. And I just feel like...
So let's talk about ACT really quick, because we've talked about that off this call, but let's...
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I should clarify that. ACT is acceptance and commitment therapy. And its short form is ACT. So what ACT is about is helping increasing flexible thinking. So it talks about, to give a brief, very brief overview, it talks about embracing and being aware of your thoughts and feelings. Because when you have more awareness, your response will be different. So pausing, the pause piece is important. Like pausing, understanding your thoughts and feelings, and also knowing that they're not who you are. What you think, what you feel does not become the person you are. You are your core authentic self. These are just your thoughts and feelings. How do you detach yourself from that? It's okay to have them. We're not pushing them away. We're not avoiding them. It's okay to have them, embrace them, but detach yourself. We're not going to fuse ourselves with it and move towards things that are value. Like, this is what I want for me. This is what I want for my family. And these are the steps I'm going to do to get there. And it's uncomfortable at times. It's horrible at times. I feel, at times, but I'm going to embrace those feelings. It's going to come on this journey with me, but it's not going to impact me to a place where I can't function. So that's what ACT is. So we're still looking at behavior change, but we're looking at it more from a more awareness standpoint, from who you are and what you want. So that gives more authenticity, because people then, you're going into the belief system of each individual person. There's more buy-in. People are more willing to do that because it kind of resonates with their values, their beliefs, their thoughts and feelings. So ABA is more like, I'm telling you what to do. Whereas ACT tells you, let's figure out what you want to do and I'll help you get there. You're right. So I like that piece better. So that's the peeling off the layers. So if I had ABA, then like, no, I need something more. It's not, I just don't want to tell people what to do, because I just saw a pattern. When I tell people what to do, they do it for a little bit because I told them, but they're not able to keep it up because it does not resonate. I'm like, yeah, I know what she's saying is right, but I just can't do it. It doesn't feel right to me. So
yeah, I love that. And I think this is a great visual and a delineation between therapy and coaching.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Therapy where, you know, that we're being advised, this is what I recommend you do. You need to try this, take this, do this. And coaching is helping you come to your decision. So you do have that buy-in because you're motivated to do things that you've said are important, and a coach can hold you accountable to those. So I love that full example. And I feel like that's why in many cases, coaching is so much more effective in the long run, because now we're engaging our values, we're engaging our thoughts, beliefs, values, and then what we know to be true, so that we can then align our goals to that and our end priorities. So when we talk about priorities, like we had a conversation about earlier, it really is about choosing the path and the battles that you want to fight, because we can't fight all of them. Even though as moms, we think we can sometimes, or we act as if we can. But the truth is we can't. And so having that path, I love that so much, because it's so empowering. We really can lean into the things that are so much more important, that truly are priorities for us. So making this change, how has life changed for you?
For the better, to show you states, right? Yeah, for the better, for sure. I'm trying to be, the hard part for me is that I feel like I'm an empath. So for me, being objective, it comes, I've learned that through experience, but I feel like the authenticity comes by relating to people, and I do bring that out. So I feel like I'm a better person. I feel like I'm more authentic as a person because I am able to talk to people the way I want to. When I was an architect, I had to put this false persona of who I was not and then talk with people and tell them what they wanted to hear, which was so goes against my grain.
Yeah.
But here I feel like I can be myself. This is who I am. I feel like a sense of belonging in this environment. So yeah, I have that feeling, which is a good feel.
Yeah, it's oh my gosh, it's so enlightening and empowering. So anyone that's listening to this, that they're struggling because of identity, right? They've put their whole identity into what they do, not necessarily who they are, or they're tied to the perceived benefit of being in that. And I say perceived because sometimes we assume that working for someone else or being an employee is safe.
Yes.
And what I know to be true, because I have several clients that they've put all their eggs in this basket and they're building this other dream for someone else within this company. And then the company shifts, makes a different decision, and your security is now gone.
Yeah.
So it's a perception that you're secure in that position. It's not guaranteed. And when you are able to fully walk in something that you believe is your destiny, as I see on your face when you talk about architecture versus talking about the kids, your face lights up. So it's easy to see, like you talk about architecture and you kind of like you look down. It's like there's still trauma there, right? Oh my gosh. It's like, wow, I don't even want to go back and visit that conversation with her. It looks so painful. But you talk about the kids and the parents and what you get to do now, and you light up and it's lighter. And so for anyone listening to this, I want you to pay attention to her body language and hear what your own heart is calling, because there is so much freedom. There's so much power and joy to be found when whatever your path is, if it's within a company, great. We're not trying to, you know, discourage you from that. But if you are being called out or called apart from that or called to do something different, maybe for another company, when you're out of alignment with your purpose, you are destined to feel bad. Just we'll leave it at that. So now the big rock that you're moving for others is through this beautiful container of beingyoullc.com. So let's talk about that and who you help, what you do, what that looks like, and how people can find you.
Yes. So like you said, I have a website and my company is called Being You for a reason. It's being yourself. So it's called beingyoullc.com. And in that website, I have two different kind of branches. One is just for parents. And the reason why I kind of delineated the two is I just wanted that focus, parents, so that they know it's for them. And it's for mostly parents of moms, busy professional moms, because that's all moms have their own set of struggles, but I'm just focusing, that's my niche that I'm focusing on. And the other part is I work with individuals with anxiety and OCD, as well as autistic individuals. And it's all about behavior change, right? Changing behavior, replacement behaviors, those kind of pieces. Also have ACT in there, which we spoke about, and so people can know what that looks like, because it's not a very familiar concept. People like, what is that? So it just gives them an overview of what that is. I have my contact information there. It's the same thing, beingyoullc@gmail.com. My phone number is there. So yes, and I do like 20-minute free discovery calls if you want to just talk and see, you know, what direction you want to go to. I'm willing to chat and help.
I love it. And so do you also work with organizations where you might come in to an organization and maybe support them with their staff to help them kind of step into a new role, or schools? So if you have a child that has special needs and you would like a resource at your school, is that something also that you do?
Yes, I do. Because first of all, I work in a school setting. I have a K-12 special educated background. So in a school setting, I've sat in IEP, ARD meetings, so can advocate for kids in those ways. I do a lot of staff training, just staff and parent training, just again, awareness piece of what is there, what is available. So those are things I do. Consult. They call me in if, you know, there are situations where, you know, what can we do in these situations? And I do like a consult with them one off, or just come in a couple of times. Write plans too, like behavior intervention plans and things like that as well. So a mixed bag of those things as well, based on the need. But yes, those are resources that I offer as well. And then there's more on my website, which talks about more of those options as well.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest fears as a special needs mom that we have is what happens to our child when we're not around, whether that's, you know, temporarily during the day or permanently if we something happened to us and we were not here physically. So having someone come in and help you walk through all of those processes, to walk through the plans, to walk through, you know, the just the thoughts of all of that, to make really empowered decisions. Because, you know, our nature as parents is to lean on expertise. And sometimes the schools may be well-meaning, but sometimes they don't know specifically what's best for your child. And so having someone come in that is looking out specifically for your child's best interest, that understands the system, understands the resources that the schools have or should have.
Yes, is
really critical. And I say that very delicately because I love my son's teachers, but I also know that sometimes their hands are tied and sometimes they're just overburdened. So sometimes we just have to be our own advocates and our children's advocates and fight for what they really need and what we know that they need. So that's why we need people like you in the trenches with us doing the hard work, because oftentimes it's just we don't know what we don't know. So,
and it is overwhelming. You go, you know how like an IEP, and already it's so much paper, and like you're so overwhelmed. And I'm like, wow, that is a lot of information. And yes, you need support.
We don't even know what questions to ask. They just tell us this, and you're like, yep, that sounds good. Where do I sign? Where do I initial? I don't even know.
And you don't even know the resources that you can advocate for. It's hard,
And they give you that little booklet, and they're like, have you read the booklet? And it's this thick, and you're like, I'll just sign. I read it. Sure. So having someone that knows this material, knows your options, knows all of the opportunities is so important. And someone that's an advocate for you as a mom in this process. So I love that you're out there doing it. It's so needed. So thank you for helping moms, especially those special moms, move those rocks. In wrapping this up, what is, other than ACT, because that sounds like a great resource, and you said that they have a book for, I guess, a training book, and then also they have for parents.
Yes, it's called Act for Parents,
Act for Parents. So other than that book, what is another resource that you would love to share? Do you have anything on your website that you would love for them to go check out?
So it's a very simple book, but I wrote a book. It's based on the principles of ACT, but it's written in a way that it's more, the reachability to people, and reachability is the word, but I'm just making it up. But it reaches people in an easier way. It's about a journey of two characters and how they overcome powerful emotions, such as sadness, using the principles of ACT. It's like a graphic novel. So the pictures were drawn by my 8-year-old daughter. So it was very nice. So it's like I gave her a scenario like, this and this person are sad. So how would that look like? So the pictures are drawn through her point of view of what that looks like, which is kind of nice in a way.
That's really precious.
So it kind of gives that perspective too. I like parents look at that book because it kind of talks about how to deal with those painful emotions in a more aware way, like being more aware of how we respond. And it's a very simple book, but it's a great resource. I've had people use it. It's a great resource because you can read it to a kid, you can read it to yourself, and it's applicable to both. So
I love it. And it's on your website?
Yes. It's called Who and I Feeling Sad.
Who and I?
Yes. The characters are called Who and I. There's a reason for that. When you read the book, you would figure it out why. But so that's a good resource.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that resource. So So be sure and check out beingyoullc.com and download the Who and I Feeling Sad book. And then can they find you on social media? Are you on
platforms? I'm on Psychology Today.
Okay.
If you type my name, Sridevi Veerappan, I'm on there, as well as I'm on Instagram. I can share the handle with you later, but on my Instagram page I do snippets of just ACT based, so I do drawings and explain through metaphors of the different pieces of acceptance and commitment therapy. So that's a nice piece to look up as well. And we have some parenting resources as well in there.
I love it. So many resources. I love it. Yeah. Just a plethora of help and resources. So thank you so much for sharing all that you're doing, for continuing to do amazing, important work, and for helping us continue to move rocks out here as parents. I just appreciate you so much. And
thank you so much.
For you, thank you for following and listening. We want to just say, we want to encourage you to keep moving those rocks one rock at a time. Just know that you don't have to move them by yourself. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.